Now, will you please turn your Bibles to, first of all, to John's Gospel, chapter 18. John's Gospel, chapter 18, and we'll pick up just where we left off last Sunday. Verse 12. John's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 12. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. That was in the 11th chapter of John, you remember. He said that after the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also? I suppose the also refers to the other disciple. Art thou now also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I'm not. And the servants and the officers stood there, who'd made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. When he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with a palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again. And immediately the cock crowed. Now I'd like to read one or two other scriptures for a moment. Let's go back to Mark chapter 8. If you don't mind turning to Mark chapter 8. Verse 31. Mark 8:31. Here the Lord is telling his disciples what would happen. Mark 8:31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. When he turned about and looked on his disciples, Mark the term, and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Chapter 9 of Mark, verse 31 of chapter 9. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask. Verse 34, they held their peace. And when they're 3:33, he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked him, what was it that he disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. What an amazing thing after what he just said, how he was going to suffer. Who should be the greatest? And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if any man desire to be first, the same should be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. When he had taken him in his arms, he said, whosoever shall receive one such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth, whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Mark 10, just continuing in Mark here. Mark 10, verse 33, verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. And they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day shall rise again. Then another question of the disciples. They said, Master, we'd like you to do whatever we want you to, that thou shouldst do for us whatsoever we desire. He said, what do you want me to do? Verse 35. 7. They said unto him, grant unto us that we might sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on the left hand in the kingdom. He said to them, verse 39, verse 38, ye know not what ye ask. Can he drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. All should he be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give. It should be given to them for whom it is prepared. May God bless to us the reading of these portions from his word. Blessed Lord, we seek thy face now that thou speak to our hearts. We believe, Lord, the subject before us this morning is very searching, and we believe thou hast a message for every heart in this room, preacher and hearer. O God, speak in the quietness of this morning hour. May we hear thy voice and feel thy touch of power. We ask in our Savior's name. Amen. Now my subject this morning is taken from that the first question, a strange thing. The Lord is now arrested. We read how he was arrested and they bound his hands. I note that many of the commentators say that he must have been bound with chains. I don't know. Just like you would handcuff a man. You see, it speaks of Joseph, and he was a type of Christ. His feet were hurt in fetters. What it says about Joseph when he was in the prison, his feet were hurt in fetters. It says that in one of the Psalms. So some people think that when they bound him with chains. And they led him first to Annas the high priest, or rather the father-in-law of the high priest. The high priest was Caiaphas. The strange thing, when God gave the priesthood to Israel, the high priest was made a high priest for life. He didn't work as a high priest for a year and then somebody else took over. He was a high priest as long as he lived, but men changed it. Even in the time of of David. There were two priests, you remember. Abiathar and another, I remember the other, I forget the other's name, but there were two priests, even in David's time. And it seems as if the Roman power had something to do with the appointing of the high priest. And so there were two high priests here. There was Caiaphas, who was the high priest at the time, and Annas, his father-in-law. And they lived in a palace. You think of that. You notice that? It says, they led him away into the palace of the high priest. Strange thing, wasn't it? The high priest and Moses, they lived in a tent, you know, but they made a great big thing of it. And they were great men, rulers among the people, the rulers of the Jewish people. And so they dragged the Lord in with the fetters, whatever fetters they were, and took him to Annas first. The band of the captain of the officers of the Jews found him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas. And here's the strange thing I was mentioning, that the first question in his trial, was this. Verse 19, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples. Strange question, isn't it? He's on trial for life. They're going to crucify him. Their minds were all made up. The trial was just a mockery. It didn't mean a thing. Their minds were made up. The Lord had said, as I have read three times, what was going to happen. He's going to be spat upon, scourged, and crucified and raised again the third day. That was all arranged in the eternal counsels of heaven long, long ago. But here's the trial of the Son of God. And the first question he asked about his disciples and of his doctrine. And this is my subject this morning, about his disciples. A simple question about his disciples. It's like a little parenthesis here, as the Lord is going now to Calvary, and they're taking him out of the Garden of Gethsemane, and before he arrives before Pilate, where the real trial took place, and where the judgment was passed, before he gets to Pilate, of course, there were actually five trials that night. He went to Annas. He went back to Caiaphas. He went to Pilate. Pilate sent him to Herod. And Herod sent him back to Pilate. How many miles they dragged him around the city of Jerusalem, I don't know that night. But five different trials. The first was Annas. They took him in from the garden to Annas. And it seems, some would say, many of the commentators had the idea, and there's nothing to prove in the scripture, that Annas lived in the same palace with his son-in-law, Caiaphas. That may be, because I tell you why I think that. Because it says that Peter warmed himself by the fire. Then the question came up. And then after that, it still says in verse 25, Peter stood and warmed himself. And Caiaphas has come into the picture before this. So it seems to me that probably when he sent him from Annas to Caiaphas, he didn't send him very far. Although when I was in Jerusalem, they used to tell me when I was out there, and I'd like to study this more, but they used to tell me that Annas, at his house, out on a hill called the Hill of Evil Counsel. Now, we actually stayed there when we were in Jerusalem. Several times we visited Jerusalem back in World War II days. And we used to stay on the Hill of Evil Counsel with some wonderful Christian friends in a hostel they had for the people serving in the Allied services, Christian men in the war. And that was a long way from Jerusalem. And I always imagined the Lord being dragged all out there and dragged all back again. But I don't know. I cannot fix up in my mind how Peter could be at the fire before the question and still be standing at the fire after the question. Who asked the question? Annas? Or Caiaphas? He says the high priest. I don't know. Caiaphas is the high priest. There's some questions here. However, the question was asked by Annas or Caiaphas, how about your disciples? Because he asked another question. He asked of his disciples and of his doctrine. Now you notice Jesus answered the second question. How gracious he was. Listen, he answered the second question. He answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue, in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I have said. He answered the second question. I'll ask you a question. How could he answer the first question? He asked about his disciples. How could he answer that question? He didn't. He didn't. In the 17th chapter, and we spent 3 mornings on the 17th chapter of John, and I personally learned many, many lessons as we talked about the 17th chapter of John. This time it's a new chapter to me since our recent studies there, and I can't get it out of my mind. But the marvel to me is that he prays in the 17th chapter of John, and he prays for the men which thou hast given me out of the world, and he prays for the disciples, and he prays for the disciples. And you know what? He never says one word against his disciples. What failures they were. And yet he didn't say that to the Lord. He said, I've given them thy word, and they have received it, and they have believed that I came out from thee. All he did was praise them. As he talked to the Father about those failing disciples, he praised them all down, praises them all down through that prayer. Now he stands before the high priest, and the high priest says, how about your disciples? He didn't say a word. A difficult thing to say, wasn't it? Let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And verse 12. It came to pass in those days, when he went out into the, that he went out into a mountain to pray. Verse 12, and continued all night in prayer to God. What important thing was going to take place? So important that the Lord spent the whole night in prayer. Praying to God. What for? Because he's going to make a great decision tomorrow. Let's see what the decision was. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. This is the decision. He's going to choose his disciples. And of them, he called the disciples together, and of them, the group of disciples, however many I don't know, of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, he comes first, you see. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. These are the men he chose to be with him. And these are the men who he was going to train. He spent 3.5 years training, teaching them wonderful lessons. And the whole burden was, according to that 17th chapter, they might know and believe that he came down from the Father. And he says, they know it, they believe it, and they're sure that I came down from thee. That's the lesson he taught. Then as I read further this morning, there came a time when he took them, and look at the way that's put, I emphasize it, in Mark chapter 8. It says, Mark chapter 8, verse 31, and when he had turned about, he looked. He looked on his disciples. He looked on them. Now he knew every one of them. And he'd been training them. And now he's beginning to teach them the final lesson. The great purpose and the great call for which he came into this world. He said, he began to teach them. He began to teach them. The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days be raised. That's chapter 8. Chapter 9. He taught his disciples and said unto the man, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men. They shall kill him. After that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. He began to teach and he went on teaching them. Chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man shall be delivered into the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. Deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him and scourge him and spit upon him and kill him. Third day he shall rise. This is the final lesson he's teaching the disciples. Hard lesson to learn because they thought that he was going to be, I believe they believed that he was the Messiah. And they had in their minds all those glorious scriptures from the Old Testament telling of how the Messiah would come and set up his kingdom and reign and righteousness would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, and he'd bring in a glorious kingdom and do away with the Roman Empire and rule and reign supreme. And that's what they had in their minds. And that's why they said to him, Lord, we want something. What do you want? He said, I want to be on the right hand and my brother on the left hand in the kingdom. That's all. I want to be great in the kingdom. That's what they had in their mind. And the Lord is trying to say, it isn't a kingdom. It's a cross. It isn't a crown. It's a cross. It's not a throne. It's an ugly hill outside Jerusalem called Golgotha. And there's going to be a cross on that hill. That's where we go. What a hard lesson to learn. And they never learned it until the time came. Let's go over to 13th chapter of John. And now he gets them in the upper room, just his own, in the upper room. And Judas went out. 13th chapter of John. And verse 13, is it? Judas, he then, having received the stop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. Now he turned to the 11 left. He said, now all that I've tried and tried and tried to tell you about my suffering and shame, now is the hour. It's come. Judas is gone. And what's he gone for? One of you shall betray me. He's gone. He went out to betray him. Judas went out and it was night. Verse 36. The Lord, Simon said to him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily I say unto thee, verily, verily I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow, till thou hast denied me thrice. And then I don't think Peter understood. In the other scriptures, he tells them. Look at Luke 22 a moment. Matthew, Mark, Luke here, 22. Verse 31. Seems to be always 31 verse in this subject. And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I love that little word wheat, don't you? He didn't sift him as chaff, you know. When you thresh the wheat, you divide the chaff from the real husk, from the real corn. And he said, Satan has desired to have you, that he might sift you as something that's real, the corn, not the chaff, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. He said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny that thou knowest me. Need I say anything else about the question? What about your disciples? What about your disciples? They all forsook him and fled. Judas had betrayed him. A few hours previously, Judas had come, probably to the high priest, I don't know. And he said, I'll betray him to you. I'll sell him to you. How much? He bargained. It says he bargained. I suppose Judas said, 40 pieces of silver. They said, 20 pieces of silver. And they argued and they bargained and they settled it. 30 pieces of silver to betray the Son of God, to betray his master. And the high priest knew all about this. He was in this deal, in this contract. He upped it. He gave permission to hand out the 30 pieces of silver. And he said to Jesus, what about your disciples? The Lord didn't answer. Did you understand? The Lord didn't answer. How about Judas? Well, he came to us and he's already sold you. He sold you for 30 pieces. What about Judas? The Lord didn't say anything. I think at that very moment, let me read on. Verse 25. Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And they said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I'm not. In that palace, that beautiful palace in which the high priest lived, I imagine there must have been some beautiful ornate gates, iron gates, you know, with lovely wrought iron work. And he's standing there in that beautiful palace. And he looks out through the gate and out in the courtyard. He's already inside. You see, in those big houses out there, they have a great big wall around. I remember once being in Damascus and I went down the street with a high wall and we were taken to some friends, and when they opened the door in the wall, we came to a beautiful garden enclosed. And the home and the house, it was all there, inside the home. All the houses were built around the wall, and the garden in the middle with the fountains and the flowers was just delightful. And I suppose when he went in, he went through the outlet, the gate, the maiden kept where he denied the Lord. And then in that big courtyard, they lit a fire. The officers were cold, and they lit a fire. And Peter went near to warm himself by the fire. And at that very moment when he's saying, what about your disciples, he could have said to Jesus, look, listen. And at that very moment, Peter's saying, I don't know him. With oaths and curses, he said, I don't know him. Art thou one of his disciples? He denied and said, I am not. And the high priest says, hear that? You hear that now? What about that man? What about that man? I know what the Lord could have said. The Lord could have said, Satan hath desired thee, Peter, that he might sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. He didn't say that, but he could have. He could have said, I prayed for that man. But what a test. The first question at the trial of Jesus Christ, the first question was, what about your disciples? I tell you, it searches my heart. What about your disciples? Now centuries have passed away. The Lord Jesus went to the cross and suffered and bled and died for our sins. And now he's on the throne in heaven. And if someone went up to that throne this morning and said to him, What about your disciples? How about that fellow Bob Willie? What do you think about him? I searched my heart this morning. What could he say? What could the Lord say? When I look back of over 60 years, 65 years since God saved me as a little boy, and I look back over life and I thank God for all his mercies and for all his love. But what can I say about myself? Failure all along the way. And someone could say, what do you think of that disciple down there? What would he say? Suppose someone went up to the Lord this morning and asked about you. What do you think of this person or that person? What do you think he could say? Let's search our heart. I know one thing he could say. I prayed for that one. I prayed for that one. They're being sifted as wheat, but I prayed for them that their faith fail not. And when they're restored, he says, they'll have their work to do for me. I wonder if there's someone here this morning away from the Lord. You trusted the Lord as your Savior many years ago. There came a moment in your life when you took Christ as your Savior, you believed in him, and received eternal life. There was a moment like that in Peter's life when Peter said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a wonderful answer from Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is born of God, says John. And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Bar-Jonah. And then immediately after that, the Lord began to tell about, it's the 16th chapter of Matthew, began to tell about his sufferings, and Peter rebuked him, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. The one who said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, get thee behind me, Satan, thou savorest not the things that be of God. Peter had that experience. He knew what it was to be saved. He knew what it was to confess that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But now in the deepest hour of trial and the deepest hour in the Lord's life, when he needed his disciple, when he needed Peter, and he told him over and over and over again, and he'd taken Peter with James and John up onto the Mount of Transfiguration and was transfigured before him and showed him his glory. And Peter says, years after, and he said, in the holy mount, we heard such a voice saying, this is my beloved son. Peter went through all that. He knew it. He knew what was right. And he'd taken Peter down to the Garden of Gethsemane and he heard him praying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Peter knew all about it, just like you and I know. And yet Peter denied he ever knew him. There's someone here this morning away from Christ. Years ago you accepted him as your Savior. And you know what you did? You got by the world's fire. Let's read it. Verse 18. The servants and officers, these are the people that had come to arrest the Son of God. These are the men that were going to crucify the Son of God. In short, this was the world. This was the world that said, away with him, crucified. The servants and the officers stood there, and they made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them. Did you notice? When Judas came into the garden, and they came to arrest him, in verse 5, Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And Peter stood with them. He's on the wrong side of the fence, you know. He's with the enemies of the Lord. He's with Judas that betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. He's with those people that bound him and led him away. And Peter stood with them. That's when he denied the Lord. Now, where was it in your life when you stood with them? You used to be every Sunday in some church or the other, and you used to be with God's people, and you had a Sunday school class, and you served the Lord, and you worked for the Lord. But business prospered. And things went so well, you stood with them. And you said, well, business demands I've got to be here, I've got to be there. I've got to go to this function or that function or this dance or that dance. Society demands it and business demands it. And you stood with them. Then the time came amidst these people when you had to confess to the Son of God. I remember hearing a man in England called Brigadier General Frost. Very big man, a brigadier general in the British Army. And I heard him tell this story. He was serving the British, serving the Queen or the King in India. And he was in the worldly crowd with all that it meant. But God saved him. God saved him. And he was a strong, bold character. And he said, now I'm going to testify for God. I'm going to tell everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were going to have the officer's mess had arranged a wonderful, great function, a great dance. And he said, I'm going to that dance, and I'm going to every lady all dressed in their wonderful apparel, these officers' wives and so on, and I'm going to each one, I'm going to say, will you dance with me? Will you dance with me? Will you dance with me? And he said, when I got them onto the floor, I said, I don't want to dance with you. I want to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ that saved me. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to testify for the Lord Jesus. I want to win you to Christ. And each woman, he said, every lady said, Brigadier, you got no right being here tonight. This is not the place for you. Not your place. You got by the world's fire. Have you been there? I know you have because I've been there. You got by the world's fire. And they said, art thou one of his disciples? What a question for a man that got in with the world. Art thou one of his disciples? What can he say? He tells a lie and he said, no, I'm not. And just at that time, the high priest, he said, what about your disciples? I see how time is going. Let's ask ourselves a question. What about your disciples? And up there, with the glory of heaven, the Son of God, I read just now, he looked upon his disciples. And the Lord, from the heights of glory, from the throne in heaven, looks, and he's looking on his disciples here today. And we're asking the question, what about his disciples? Thank God there's restoration. Thank God, despite of everything, Peter was restored. And three times the Lord said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? And what did Peter say? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Shall we pray? Blessed God, we pray that thou apply thy word to our hearts. And if there are those of us here this morning away from thee, we pray we might come back right now and say like Peter, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Restore us, Lord, back to the joy of our salvation. And grant that what's left, little bit that's left of life might be used up for thee and only thee. Help us, Lord, to be true disciples, not to deny thee, but to confess thy name before men, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We pray that bless this message in every heart for thy glory. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.